He's not as smart as David Iverson. He's not nearly as distinguished as Ken Pendergraft. And he's way shorter than Tom Kelly. But every family needs a black sheep with special skills and abilities. Are you ready to just blame Joey?
That's right, party people. Just Blame Joey Live is back live in the studio, getting ready to crank out another live episode right here. So get that cup of coffee warmed up, get yourself that comfortable seat, and we're going to kick it live here in just a moment on Just Blame Joey Live.
After an exclusive two-decade tour of Europe, Asia, the Pacific, the Middle East, and all stops in between, realizing Wyoming is the only America that America has left, he's finally back for good. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it is the distinct pleasure of 1776 Audio Foundry Management to present to you your host, recently profiled on the lifestyles of the prolific and gifted. He's an overnight success that has been years in the making. He's your very own Saratoga Sledgehammer. Here is Jailbird Joey.
Well, hello and thank you for engaging once again in another opportunity to get your fill of cantankerous commentary and political entertainment all backed up with actual facts and data. Coming to you from the Cathedral of Accountability in a well-secured bunker deep beneath the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, this is the home of liberty-minded constitutional conservatism. I am your host, the Saratoga Sledgehammer, Mr. Misdemeanor himself, Jailbird Joey, and it is time to just blame Joey. Good day to you, all you biological boys and girls, and if you identify as anything else, this show is most likely not going to be your cup of tea, but we're going to get started anyway, and you're more than welcome to stick around and give it a listen. And I wish you the best of luck with those feelings as you just blame Joey. So with that, let's stir this pot. Well, good morning out there in Internet Radio Land, and welcome back to the show. Finally, back in the studio for some more Just Blame Joey Live. After a long break in covering the legislative session there in Cheyenne, it is 11 a.m. on Tuesday, March 19th, and the first day of spring, so we're told, although we definitely have a bit more winter on the way because, well, it's Wyoming, so it's almost always winter. But just give it 5 minutes if you got a problem with the weather. As you know, it will change quite frequently. We are going to do a little bit of AC/DC today as we adjust to the new one-hour show format. We used to do 2 hours in the morning, but we're going to do a little less music here on Just Blame Joey Live so we can make room for the new morning show. And, you know, hey, that thing needed space. So you're going to get David Iverson and Jailbird Joey on the morning show here on the Independence Network every morning at 9, Cowboy State Politics at 10, and then Just Blame Joey Live at 11. And after that, the schedule's up in the air, changes every couple of days, so keep an eye on the independencenetwork.us. Pull up the tab that says schedule, find out what's coming up. But with that, every morning at 9, like I said, you'll be able to tune into the Independence Network and catch that morning show with David Iverson and Jailbird Joey, as there was no end to the amount of requests that we received to continue that collaboration that we started down in Cheyenne. So by popular demand, we'll happily oblige and keep bringing you that show. As you know, here on the Independence Network, we are very listener-focused. So you keep sending those emails to Joey at justblamejoey.com. We'll make sure that we get something in there that works for you. And we are moving out of that legislative posture and into the campaign season. So we'll get into that new schedule. Still keep some old favorites around. And a little bit of rock and roll today while you're getting your fill of Cantankerous commentary with the political, social, and civic entertainment all backed up with facts and data, as is the standard here across the Independence Network. David Iverson was live in the Northern Command studio this morning up there in Sheridan on the Independence Network. We had a great edition of the morning show. I'm going to keep pushing that because, man, I'm telling you, we're having a blast doing it, and I'm glad everybody out there wants to keep it around because, well, we do enjoy spending that time kind of just, I don't know, going back and forth. But the illustrious From High Above, followed by a new episode of the Cowboy State Politics Live, which you can catch later on the podcast, all happened this morning. But if you did miss this morning's episode of Cowboy State Politics, David covers the Redcoats attack on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page in an attempt to get it shut down. Pretty sad reality there. That's, I believe David said, that's how you know when you're over the target, when they're pulling out all the stops just to, you know, kill your voice entirely. But it is back up and running and not likely to go down again. Let's see, what else does David get into this morning? Joe Biden doesn't recognize his own family members, and apparently Russia ain't booting Putin in the most recent election. So make sure you're tuning in and catching up with any of that content you may have missed all across the Independence Network as we do play our morning schedule again in the afternoon, starting about 3 p.m. And as always, I do invite you to come and sit with the Warriors here on the Independence Network, where the conversation is different. Jailbird Joey swinging the back hard from the Cathedral of Accountability this morning, all ramped up and ready to get you that content you crave with all of the bills that are still left on the governor's desk. He's got till the end of the week to sign them. Going to get you up to date with what's still sitting there and what's been vetoed. We're going to jump into the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag because it's been overflowing and we got to clear it out, make some room for some new submissions. And we'll try to end the day with one of our favorite old segments. Where the hell did that come from? Finding the foundations of our favorite figurative phrases. So we will be getting to all that today while we enjoy the sounds of AC/DC here on Just Blame Joey Live, your safe place to be dangerous. little Thunderstruck from AC/DC, getting into that rock and roll mood today. Just, you know, I kind of need it. I didn't sleep well last night, been tossing and turning, and we got to knock the dust off, knock the rust off, and get back into the swing of things here on the live broadcast, so we're doing the best we can, but sometimes you just need a little wake-up music, and that contribution from AC/DC is going to lead us right into our focus for today. Bills still on the governor's desk, left to sign. They've passed the legislature in both houses, been amended up, amended down, but these are the ones that made it out and are still sitting on Go Green Gordon's desk. We got 10 House bills and about 20 Senate files, and they're mostly the ones you wouldn't be surprised that the governor is hesitant in signing quickly. I can't tell you if he's going to sign these, let them go into law without his signature, or veto them, but we'll talk about a few of them here. Going to start with the top of the pile, House Bill 148, Regulation of Abortions. This was a hard-fought battle over multiple years, and especially in this last session. Some of the amendments added to it to make sure that the ultrasound requirement was added. That was actually an entire bill of its own that had failed introduction, thanks to the Wyoming caucus and the Democrats, but found its way into the bill as an amendment of the Regulation of Abortions Act. I, of course, have almost no issue whatsoever with this law, especially with the pending outcome of the court cases on Wyoming's other already passed and brought into active law abortion bills that are being fought out. I believe they're up at the state Supreme Court level, or there was a question on some of the, I don't know, finer points of the law that went to the Supreme Court and then got kicked back to the Teton County Court. I'm going to have to get with some of my Wyoming Right to Life people and find out the current status of that. But regulation of abortions is a new law that says, hey, if we're going to sit here and say abortions are legal or there's a stay on the current law, we need to at least regulate them to make sure that they are safe. And that's what this bill does. But I wouldn't be surprised to see the governor veto this one, as he has had a history of vetoing what some would consider anti-abortion laws in the past. He did veto the Infant Born Alive Means of Care Act. I don't know if I'm saying that title right, but it doesn't matter because it's not law, because Governor Gordon killed it. Hell of a conservative there. There's a few property tax bills. I think there's about five that are alive. I'll count through them here, but I haven't seen a signature from the governor on any of them, and I don't know that he's going to pass all of them, pick the ones he likes the best. I bet you the ones he likes the best are the ones that don't really do anything for the people, but go ahead and dump some more money into stabilization accounts or claw back some money for the state to use. So I'll have to keep an eye on those. I believe, again, it's five property tax bills. That was the big focus of the legislative session this year, getting some property tax relief for the citizens of Wyoming. None of these bills on their own really do what was intended, and I think we're going to have to go back for a few more sessions and really get into propagating some rules, some laws, some processes to give actual relief, as opposed, do some real reform on how we are collecting taxes and how we're spending money in Wyoming, as opposed to throwing these Band-Aids on. Another one that is sitting on Governor Gordon's desk right now, House Bill 90, Newborn Child Safe Havens, Age of the Child. That was brought by Representative Rodriguez Williams, passed both chambers. And for some reason, I don't know, that really doesn't do much. It just changes the age of the child. Says, hey, listen, you now have 3 weeks to abandon your baby instead of 48 hours or whatever it was before. So I don't know why the governor has not signed that one yet. A big one we talked about a lot here on the Independence Network as it was happening and after it went through some amazing strife and then got killed and then somehow resurrected, House Bill 125, the repeal of the gun-free zones and preemption amendments. That was brought by Representative Haroldson. It is on the governor's desk, and this is a real interesting one because not only is it one that went through so much just ridiculous attempts to kill it, change it, gut it. But it was hard fought, hard won, and came out largely unchanged from its original format. But it's also a bill that repeals gun-free zones in Wyoming, which was one of Governor Gordon's original 2018 campaign promises that if a bill like that came across my desk, I would sign it. So we will have to wait and see if he actually lives up to that. I don't have a whole lot of faith in the governor or his integrity or his supposed or claimed conservatism or respect for the Constitution or liberty or anything like that. But this is one of the few bills that he has specifically said in the past, if this bill comes across my desk, I will sign it. So I really want to see how that one turns out. Let's see what else we got here. Property tax refund program, House Bill 4. Property tax exemption for long-term homeowners, House Bill 3, like I said. I haven't seen any of this property tax stuff be signed, and I really don't know which way the governor is going to go on that. House Bill 45, property tax exemption, residential structures and land. All of them I saw personally. I have problems with some of the provisions, some of the results, and then some of the intent, I guess, that's behind a few of the portions of these bills. We did not get one good property tax relief bill out there, in my opinion. But I don't know, work a few of these together, figure out how the Department of Revenue is going to implement them. The biggest problem I have with all these property tax bills is I think all of them have a sundown. They're only going to last a year or two. And none of them address government spending, which is the fulcrum in which they balance how much and in what way they tax the Wyoming homeowner, the Wyoming citizen, people who are buying things in Wyoming off of. So they haven't addressed the problem. Again, a Band-Aid. And the problem is the way they spend money and how much they spend. Another interesting one still sitting on the governor's desk. He did veto, I believe, a portion of another bill that was related to this. But House Bill 92, Protection of Parental Rights. That one's sitting on the governor's desk. And again, you listen to these. These are the big issues that a lot of Wyoming citizens are focused on. Property tax relief, Second Amendment, education savings accounts, protection of parental rights. And these are the ones that have sat on the governor's desk the longest. And so there really is no way of telling with any type of assurity which way the governor is going to go on them. But, there's one I missed. Yeah, the education savings account. House Bill 166. Those are all the House bills sitting on the governor's desk, and we'll just have to wait and see. I'm going to stick with some of these are going to get vetoed, and some of these will probably pass into law without his signature. He may get on board with House Bill 104, the omnibus water bill planning bill. That was, House Bill 104. But, signing that one, it really doesn't address what the common Wyoming citizen is dealing with or interested in right now. But it's interesting to see that these are the 10 bills that are still sitting on his desk from the House and haven't really gotten any attention. I check the governor's website a couple times a day. He has been signing a few here and there. But we're kind of down to the last of the ones we really want to see. Over on the Senate side, some of the bills the governor hasn't signed yet that I don't think really getting a whole lot of attention, don't really need it. Dan Furphy's Wyoming Adult Hearing Aid Program, Senate File 57, that's unsigned. I personally have an issue with this. First of all, I'm hard of hearing, and I wear hearing aids on a regular basis. And I looked at this program that Senator Furphy went ahead and somehow got through. But what it does is it establishes a new department within the Department of Health for a hearing specialist to, help people who live at 200% of the poverty level or more obtain hearing aids. And the whole program, including the administrator, the regular salary for the person running this new department or this new section of the Department of Health, it's only $90,000 in the entire bill. $90,000 will buy you about 6 pair of hearing aids. That, and we have tons of programs out there, Medicare, Medicaid. I'm sure that there's deaf and blind services that can point people in the direction of, hey, this is where these services and these facilities are available for you to at least get tested. I know that when I was fighting my battle with the VA to try to get my hearing aids, that I just went down to Walmart and got one of those fake ones, a volume amplifier that looks like a hearing aid, and it got me through okay. But this looks like a program that's coming in way under budget, is going to somehow produce a high demand and eventually become a big dollar healthcare expenditure in the future. I'm not saying people that are poor and can't hear don't deserve hearing aids. I'm saying we probably have enough out there already
to handle some of that. And we don't need a new program. And it's definitely way underfunded. So don't be surprised if that ends up costing the taxpayer a lot more money in the future. Let's see. Senate File 125, Parimutuel Wagering Activities and Amendments. Public Service Commission Integrated Resource Plan, Senate File 24. You know, these are just, I don't know why they're, or on the, the Nursing Home Administrator's Temporary Licenses, Senate File 6. All these bills still sitting on the governor's desk, not really too big of a deal, but the ones that are sitting there that might be a problem. Senate File 36, Uniform Child Abduction Prevention Act, that came out of the judiciary. That one should have been an easy one for the governor to deal with, but it has not been signed yet. Concealed Firearms Permit Eligibilities, Senate File 73, another gun bill that I don't know that the governor will sign. That has to do with previous felons who have had their rights restored being able to obtain a concealed carry permit. I say that goes right along with basic civil liberties, and once you get your civil liberties back after completing the restoration of rights process, it shouldn't be a problem. But, you know, we all know Governor Gordon, he likes to toy around with stuff like that and voice his fears on, well, what if this, or this is already well, you know, handled. I don't know. He makes a lot of excuses. Senate File 34 still sitting on the governor's desk. Sex offender registration, registrable offenses, which increases the number of offenses and types of offenses that can land you on the sex offender registry. It'll be interesting to see how the governor moves on or doesn't move on that one. Of course, Senate File 99, Chloe's Law, Children Gender Change Prohibition. This is a tough one because this is the second time it's really been dealt with in the legislature. It did fairly well last year. It did outstanding this year, came out almost completely unchanged. I think the biggest change was Ember Oakley made sure to remove the title Chloe's Law from Chloe's Law. But I think there's only 8 people in the House that voted against it and maybe 4 or 5 in the Senate. So this one's coming onto the governor's desk pretty strong. But he's already called situations like this and laws like this draconian in the past. So I'm going to guess that this will be one he allows to pass into law without his signature. And another one we're all watching real closely, Senate File 109, Prohibit Red Flag Gun Seizure Act. This one did come with a lot of amendments. Senator Biteman had a pretty clear bill at the beginning. There were a lot of concerns about how law enforcement activities would work and how the process would go with things like game and fish, found weapons. So a lot of language was added to it, but I don't think it takes away from the functionality of the bill. I would have loved to have seen a criminal penalty in here, but if it had a criminal penalty and still survived this far, there's a chance that the governor would outright veto it. I don't know that he won't veto it. He has been making a few statements in his previous veto notices this year about how there's already a federal law, or we can't, nullify or act officially against federal law and vetoing some other bills. So this one is another one we're going to watch pretty closely. Hopefully in the next day or two, we will have the answer from the governor. And the biggest factor I see in all of these bills either getting vetoed or becoming law without the governor's signature is the governor right now is the lamest of lame ducks. He can't be reelected. He's at, you know, in the middle of his second term. He's looking for other things for his future. I don't know what those are, whether he's planning to go to the Senate. I personally believe he's looking for a cushy appointment to a cabinet position. And as we've seen in the past 6 to 8 months, he's been going out of his way to appease the liberal lefts and the Democrats and all of these go green globalists. So I don't know how much of this will actually be for the good of the people of Wyoming, as opposed to the good of the future of Mark Gordon. And he can get away with vetoing more things because he doesn't have an election to worry about in the near future, if he ever has an election to worry about at all. So yeah, getting to the end of this list, let's see. Homeowner tax exemption, Senate File 54. There's another one. I have very little faith that the governor will sign all of the tax exemption bills. Each of them have their own problems. Each of them have their own benefits, but I think he'll find a way to minimize the best option for the people and keep as much of that money in the government hands as possible. And like I said, most of it doesn't matter because they all have a sundown. They're going to be done by 2026, 2027 at best. So that's just about it for the 30 bills, I believe. Yeah, 10 House bills and 20 Senate files still left on the governor's desk. Thus far, the governor has vetoed four bills, line item veto on one bill, and both houses pretty much overruled him on all, but I think there were six line item vetoes and they brought back four of them. And that was on the legislative budget, the separate budget just for the legislature. But direct veto that can't be recalled, can't be dealt with because the legislature's already out of session. Senate file 61, education charter school amendments. That was helping to establish the process and the funding for charter schools in Wyoming. Senate file 103, the Wyoming Prime Act, which would have allowed producers of, I'm going to say beef, but I'm going to guess any livestock producers to sell directly to customers. And unfortunately, right now, that would be a problem with some federal law and the FDA and Department of Agriculture, other things. But this was a trigger bill. This is one of those bills that say, hey, as soon as we get this done in D.C., this bill in Wyoming comes into effect. And that's exactly the reason the governor vetoed it. He wrote in his message for the veto note on the bill of, I find trigger bills to be problematic. Well, I don't really care what you find to be problematic, Governor Gordon. What happens when we have to wait another year or 2 years to pass this after we no longer have the federal restrictions on this? It's just another way of killing the small producers in rural Wyoming. And it really shows the governor's, I don't know, lack of commonality, understanding, connection to rural agriculture producers, which he claims to be one of himself. So again, never ceases to amaze me with how confusing any of the postures or statements from the governor are. I just know that there's not a whole lot of conservatism in there. Federal land use plan, legal action authorized. Senate file 13 was vetoed. That was going to give $75,000 to the state, I believe through approval of the legislature in order to sue the federal government over things like the Rock Springs management plan out of the BLM. And the governor vetoed that saying, the legislature can't sue. That's a, the separation of powers says that that's definitely a executive power and needs to go through the AG. But I don't know if the governor really read the bill. All it said was, we're appropriating this money for this purpose, and it requires the approval of the legislature when that money is to be used. It doesn't mean the legislature can come in and demand that a group or a federal department be sued. It means when the AG goes to do that, they need to get the approval of the legislature as, is this a valid use of the money we set aside for it? So again, Governor Gordon really not standing up for Wyoming or allowing Wyoming to stand up for itself in his vetoing of that bill. And, some of the other bills that he has still got on his desk could be problematic for the people of Wyoming, but I'm sure they'll end up going out in a way that makes him look good to his buddies and guarantees that he's going to get that cabinet position or Senate bid or whatever he's going for in the future. Maybe he's going back to the Sierra Club. Who knows? But we'll have to keep an eye on all that as we're moving on into the rest of the week. And I will let you know if we have any updates or changes to that. And we're going to jump back into a little bit of AC/DC. And when we get back, it's time to get into that Jailbird Joey biological mailbag right here on the Independence Network.
Leave me be.
man who knows, with a bunch of bills on his desk to veto and 2 years left in office, Wyoming may be on that highway to hell, because we got no way of getting any relief directly for the, I don't know, the whims and wills of Governor Gordon. Let's hope we can keep him in check just a little bit for just a little bit longer. But remember, there's 30 bills on his desk right now. That's for this year. He's got two more legislative sessions that he can govern over, present one more budget, and veto anything that he might kill this time that we have to bring back in the future. All that hard work getting some of these very important things to the people of Wyoming through, yeah, could die twice at his hand. It's happened before, and I wouldn't put it past him to have it happen again. But oh well, got me a fresh cup of Just Blame Joey Java. That's right, it's dark, it's bitter, it's bold, and always has a full head of steam on it, just like your favorite internet radio host and grandiloquently obtuse podcaster, Jailbird Joey, gonna still be working on finding, I don't know, some kind of source for getting that Jailbird Joey Java produced. Had one for a while, and then the bottom fell out of the market, and all these, I don't know, transportation, and I don't know, there was just a lot of excuses, and now getting coffee anywhere but the grocery store seems to be extremely difficult and expensive. So we'll work on that, but gonna take another sip of this Jailbird Joey Java here, and then we're gonna get into the Jailbird Joey biological mailbag. Oh yeah, that's good. All right, let's see. It's been a while, and we're gonna see what we got in here. Okay, Jailbird Joey. I miss the old Jailbird Joey Live, especially the biological mailbag. When is that happening again? That's from Anthony Hudson, right up the road in Rawlins. Well, Anthony, here we are. Yeah, I get it. We're going through some transitions. We're going to try to get that schedule out and make it real solid. I know consistency is key, especially if we have regular listeners out there. But assume that every year it's going to happen at least a little, if not a lot, like it did this time with the budget session. There's going to be changes because we occupy Cheyenne when the session is going. We're getting better at this, and we're adding some new shows all the time, so there might not be such a hard shift as we move into that, but yeah, covering the session does take a lot of time and attention, but I'm glad to be home, back in the 1776 Audio Foundry Studios, and doing Just Blame Joey Live for you today. And here is some more biological mailbag. So Anthony, thanks for reaching out, letting me know. It's good to hear from you, and hopefully we're going ahead and filling up this content that you're looking for and seem to have missed so much. And you're not the only one. You're just the one that was on top of the list. Got a lot of, hey, bring it back, get back to it. Let's see what else we got here in the... Okay, this is going to be fun. Jailbird Joey, did you hear that Reed Raisner's truck was vandalized with a hammer and he has been getting death threats for running against John Barrasso for Senate? From Mark in Casper. Well, Mark, let me see if I can pull this up real quick. I did see a post on Reed Raisner's Facebook page, but I haven't seen a police report, a news story with any interviews or details on the supposed incident. And I say supposed because, well, I've only got one source and I don't know. Let me look here, see if I can pull this up, find it real quick. There it is. Yeah, there's a picture of Raisner and I'm guessing that's Casper PD officer standing behind a truck. The caption Reed Raisner puts on his story or his post here: "No amount of intimidation will deter me. Not now, not ever. Today, my campaign vehicle is viciously vandalized by some coward wielding a hammer. This vile act follows a weekend flooded with death threats directed towards me and my team. The establishment, good old boys, desperate to protect John Barrasso, are trying to scare me out of this race. But let me tell you something, folks. Despite their dirty tactics, despite their attempts to silence us, my numbers are skyrocketing." So, okay. Let's look a little closer at the picture. Yeah, so it seems, I don't know, I just read that directly off of Mr. Raisner's campaign page on Facebook, which was pointed out to us by Mark and Casper. I think it's a little premature to assume a lot of this, unless there's more to the story that we don't know yet. How do we know it was a hammer? How do we know it was a guy, a coward? I don't know. Maybe it was a kid that bumped into it with his, I don't know. How do we know it was politically motivated? There's just really, there's no broken windows, tires that are slashed, real damage to the vehicle that's visible. But there may be more that isn't shown in this one picture posted as a campaign ad. I mean, the guy literally puts Raisner for Senate over the picture of him looking at the damage on the truck with the police officer. So as far as I could tell, it's a campaign ad, and you know, we need a little more facts and data here before, yeah, it just doesn't look like it's all that much. And I don't know how he knew it was a hammer. I guess we'll lean towards the trust but verify posture that we take on this one, and going to have to wait and see what comes out of this. But like I said, it doesn't look like much damage in the picture he posted, almost like the truck was backed into something fairly gently and it made a few dimples or small pockmarks or dents in the rear bumper. But, you know, from what I've heard, Reed Reisner's never had an issue or any kind of complaints with being hammered in the rear bumper before, but that's another story altogether, and I guess you just have to ask him about all of that. Yeah, I'm going to pay for making that statement. I'm probably sooner than later, but like Rod Miller is very fond of saying and replying to all of his statements with, I said what I said, so sorry about your rear bumper there, Reed. Anyway, I'm sure there'll be more to follow on this story. Any official investigation or report, if I can get my hands on it, I'd love to see what actually happened, what the police are finding, and the details of the actual facts and data here in the near future. So Mark and Casper, I'll keep an eye out for any updates on that. But yeah, so far I haven't seen anything other than Mr. Reisner's own post that he's turned into a campaign ad. And really, it's easy to assume things. I'm not going to assume Mr. Reisner did this himself. I'm not going to assume that John Barrasso supporters did this. It looks like very minor damage to a vehicle. And honestly, the people I run into that are angry enough to commit, you know, acts of violence or any type of property damage probably would have done more than this. So I'm going to wait to see what actually comes out of this, because it just, something doesn't look right here. But oh well, to each their own. You campaign on your own merits, your own abilities, and yeah, you do what you feel is right. And this is his way. So yeah, I'm sure we'll get into that Senate race a lot more as the primary starts to heat up, especially coming into May when we have the official filing period and we'll find out everyone who's running. But like I said, Mark out there and Casper, thanks for the heads up. And if you see anything about this that's beyond Mr. Reisner's own campaign ad post about his poor little truck, go ahead and send that to me. Send it to Joey at justblamejoey.com, or find me on Facebook and send it in an instant messenger post, and I'll take a look at it. So yeah, let's see, looking at the clock here, 11:42. All right. Well, you know, I'm looking through all of these and I don't see, there is no note in here from our favorite liberal freeloading mama basement dweller, Les, which I know is what everybody was waiting for. Anthony out there in Rollins, that's probably why he likes the biological mailbag so much. But honestly, I haven't heard from old Les, less than accurate Les is what I'm gonna start calling him, in about a month now. And, now that we're back and doing the regular live show, I have no doubt he'll be chiming in with his Rod Miller-esque idiocy in no time. So let's all try to be patient, see how soon we can get that free entertainment back on the air from Les in Carbon County, which I don't think he actually lives in Carbon County, but who knows? We may have lost him for good, and that's just the way the cookie crumbles. All right, I'm going to jump through a couple more of these real quick. Yeah, I'm going to have to review some of these. So let's go ahead and jump back into some AC/DC while we're getting ready to finish up the biological mailbag here on Just Blame Joey Live.
Yeah.
TNT from AC/DC there, getting the rock and roll going this morning. I'm starting to feel a little more awake. Got that Jailbird Joey Java in me, and a little bit of rock and roll in the ears will do it for you. Especially when, you know, reading through all of these biological mailbag submissions, I got to tell you, I don't mention them all online. A lot of them are hard to kind of talk about because they've either already been mentioned or they're just shout outs. Hey, good job. Love the morning show. Getting a lot of that. Want to hear this topic, so I'll do the research. But I do respond to all those emails, most of you know, that send them, and I do put a lot of them on the air. So if you don't get an email back from me, it probably means you're coming up on the show. But sometimes it takes a while to dig through all these, especially as they're coming in while I'm on the air, or I forget to check my junk mail, and somehow your email got sent over there. So we got one more here that I found interesting and definitely am prepped for. Jailbird Joey, can you help us find someone to take out Kale Case in this year's election? This coming from Fremont Firefighter. Well, Fremont Firefighter, I'm not going to jump on you too hard on this, but okay, Nancy Case, Senate District 25. Is that the one you're talking about? This one?
Nancy, Nancy, Nancy.
This is a good deal for Wyoming.
Nancy, 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 Nancy.
So I definitely believe that we need new taxes.
Nancy.
We need to consider income taxes.
Nancy.
I think it's a misinterpretation of the word or.
Nancy, 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 Nancy.
You do a lot of anecdotal things, sir.
Nancy.
I think we're done, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, we wish Nancy Case could be done too. Yeah, Fremont Firefighter, I will do everything I can to help point out, remind people, hold accountable the actions of Nancy Case against the Republican Party, the voters, the citizens, and the taxpayers of Wyoming. But unfortunately, he won't be up for re-election this year. The senators run for four-year blocks, and he's in an odd number district, district number 25. So we'll have to wait till 2026 to get Nancy Case out of office. And like I said, I'm not going to push too hard on it. A lot of people don't know. I get it. I'm a political junkie. I'm on top of all this. I know Ogden Driscoll's not up for re-election because he's Senate District number 1, and that's, you know, an odd number. Larry Hicks, my senator, not up for re-election. He's Senate District 11. But what I really want to work with some people on and try to get out there is learning what's happening and knowing as much as possible, because nothing deflates any of our legitimate arguments quicker than being procedurally wrong. I saw a post the other day. You know, I rip on Gordon on a daily basis, but I don't say anything about recall him or let's find somebody to run against him or vote him out in November. Well, because the process doesn't allow for that. We don't have a law to recall an elected official. Governor Gordon isn't running this year. He can't run again, so we don't have to vote him out. And I saw another one said, write in Brent Behan in November, even if he's not on the ballot. Well, you'd have to write him in if he wasn't on the ballot. But the bottom line is there's no governor spot this year. It's another four-year slot. So anything I can do to help the people understand exactly what's happening at any given time or any given year or any given election so that, you know, these nutballs on the left, guys like Rod Miller that like to point out inaccuracies even while he's being inaccurate, tend to deflate some of our legitimate arguments because we're not talking about something that's really going to happen or could happen. So Fremont Firefighter, I'll do everything I can to continue to expose, embarrass, and hold accountable Senator Kale Case from Senate District 25 in Fremont County. And I'm sure that Republican Party down there, the Fremont County Central Committee, is going to continue to hold him accountable. But there's really nothing we can do except for point out his inaccuracies, illegitimacy. And I don't know if we're going to see another attempt to expand Medicaid in the future from him, but you know, we're stuck with him for a couple of years. So kind of the same position we're in with the governor. But I'd prefer to make sure that everybody that we're dealing with and everybody that's out there fighting the good fight is fighting the good fight the right way and knows what's actually going to be on the ballot, what's coming up and what we can actually do about it so that we at least don't fall into those grammar Nazi or procedural error arguments with our opponents. So thanks for that. Fremont firefighter. I'm going to find out who you are, but I won't expose you because you used a pseudonym there. And we're going to let you remain anonymous under that. But speaking of Nancy Case, where the hell did that come from? Finding the foundations of our favorite figurative phrases is back, and we are ready to rock and roll with that. So we're going to roll right into it here with about 10 minutes left on the air. So I think we've got plenty of time. Today's phrase is rock bottom. The meaning of the phrase is the lowest possible depth that a state of affairs can sink to. You see how I did that? Related that to Nancy Case? Yeah? Okay. The origin of the phrase rock bottom is an American colloquial expression from the mid-19th century. It derives originally from mining, where rock bottom was the bedrock or the rock at the bottom of a mining operation, beyond which there was no point in continuing to dig further down or any further one could go. The exact origin of the idiom is unclear, but its metaphorical meaning can be traced back to ancient times when people would dig holes or wells in search of water or valuable minerals. The expression hit rock bottom was popularized by Alcoholics Anonymous and all those friends of Bill. No, that's Bill W., not Bill Novotny, but one is an anonymous alcoholic. The other one is, well, Bill Novotny. So, an example of the phrase rock bottom being used correctly in a sentence is facing the 15th and 16th failure in his attempts to pass Medicaid expansion in Wyoming this past session, Senator Nancy Case of Fremont County has obviously hit rock bottom. And let's hope we're right. I'm sure Fremont firefighter agrees that should be the standard position. But if you're listening out there, Nancy, it's okay. I'm sure you'll feel better after having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
My favorite sandwich in grade school, you'll think this isn't relevant, peanut butter sandwich. Peanut butter and jelly. Love peanut butter and jelly.
It's peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time, peanut butter jelly time. Way yeah, way yeah, way yeah, way yeah. Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly. Shoot a peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat. Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
I think we're done, Mr. Secretary.
Yeah, I think we're done with you too, Mr. Case. Well, that's going to be, played often because there is no election to deal with Kale Case. But apparently the answer to and the cause of any problem that we're facing in Wyoming can be related back to peanut butter jelly time and people's peanut allergies. In case you missed it during the legislative session, Kale Case actually used that argument. My favorite sandwich was peanut butter sandwiches, and now kids can't have them in schools as some kind of position to argue against the legitimacy of Chloe's Law and saying, yeah, we should be able to hack parts off their body because there's just things we don't know about science and disease and all this other crap. But you're going to hear a lot of peanut butter jelly time, especially in 2026 if Kale Case runs again. But that's just part of that whole proving the idiocy and illegitimacy of some of these goofballs in the legislature. Plenty more to come on that as half of the Senate is running for re-election, as well as the entire House of Representatives. So believe me, we're going to be pulling sound clips out of this past session, and you're going to hear more than you would ever want to from the people that just need to step aside, whether they're true native Wyomingites or not. Just a few minutes left in the show here. Going to roll back into some AC/DC, get our closing put together, and get ready to send you on into the rest of your day here on the Independence Network. That's right, Kale Case. If you want blood, you got it. I'm right here, bud. You can find me anytime. And no, I won't have my high-capacity assault microphone on me. You know, you don't have to worry about nothing. If any of you out there don't know what I'm talking about, really got to catch up with the morning show that we did all 4 weeks of the legislative session. We'll try to get those put out. I have them on the podcast. Check them out on Podbean, Apple, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you find your podcast. Just go to the Just Blame Joey podcast and look for the morning show contributions that we've put in there. And we're going to continue to do that as we continue to do the morning show. Coming up on the end of our time here this morning, the new schedule for today. We had the morning show and Cowboy State politics already. You're listening to Just Blame Joey Live right now. As soon as we sign off, we're going to get into some Paul Harvey. And a little bit after that, I'll have the Ramble Room coming up. And when Ken is done with his Ramble Room, we will do the best of Wide Right Turn. Not this week's episode, but one from the past. And then around 2 o'clock, we'll have yesterday's edition of the morning show. And then right at 3, schedule starts all over again. So 3 p.m., you're going to get that morning show and right back into our regular schedule. And that's our Tuesday-Thursday schedule for now. So make sure you tuning in and staying informed with all of that information. Going to have to throw some pre-recorded on for tomorrow. I will be here for the morning show, but then I got to hit the road and make it to the final doctor's appointment for this series of appointments and treatments that I've been taking. And hopefully by tomorrow afternoon, I'll know what's going on with me, if anything. Maybe get a little more sleep, maybe feel a little bit better, maybe be able to bring you what's what with all the facts and data here on the Independence Network in a more effective manner. Either way it goes, I'm looking forward to getting back into the studio full time, and we'll try to work out this schedule. If you've got any comments, concerns, complaints, critiques, or questions about the show or any of the content on the Independence Network, send those emails to joey@justblamejoey.com. And of course, you can always reach out to David Iverson, david@cowboystatepolitics.com. Let us know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're hearing, what you want, what you're worried about, and what you think might work better, and we will see what we can do about that. But we are all here working hard in our free time, so you don't have to, on the Independence Network, to make sure all of those questions are answered. And really, like I said to Fremont Firefighter, really want to get everybody, you know, ramped up and properly positioned to be able to say, no, this is what we have to do, because Mark Gordon isn't up for re-election this year. He'll never be up for re-election again. That Senate candidate, he's in an odd number district. He's not going to be on your ballot. There's still things we can do, but we can't just assume that every November we can vote in or out anybody, or that any of our efforts are going to actually appear in legislation. And if they do appear in legislation, they're going to pass by the governor's desk. But we'll spend a lot more time over the election season getting into all that. But for now, we're going to say see you tomorrow. And thanks for tuning in to Just Blame Joey Live here on the Independence Network. Stick around for Paul Harvey. And then we got the Ramble Room coming up after that, and a whole lot of content for you to enjoy the rest of the day right here on the Independence Network. And it's time to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed this episode of Just Blame Joey. And if you did, make sure to go to any of your social media accounts, look up Just Blame Joey, like and subscribe, and make sure to add the show to your automatic download feed on any of your podcasting apps. That way you'll be sure to never miss a moment of the cantankerous commentary and political entertainment. And if you didn't enjoy the show, you can always subscribe without liking. That way you can justify all your illegitimate anger and frustration while you just blame Joey. Just Blame Joey is a presentation and product of the Independence Network. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.